I did not mention, but it's in your program, that I will not be doing a receiving line after service today. I need to try to get to Atlantic City as soon as possible to get to a service there. I'm blessed to have ordained many years ago a woman who my father had called into the ministry when he was the pastor of Hope Church in Amherst. She is 87 years old. She has been a minister for a number of years and always had an idea that she would someday, before she died, become a pastor of a church. I was advocating for her to become the pastor of the church I used to be the pastor of, but that advocacy did not work out. And within weeks after that not working out, she got a call from New Jersey, outside of Atlantic City, a church that her grandfather had built many years ago. And they asked her to come and be the pastor of that church. So I'm really grateful for how God works everything out. I'm really excited for her and excited to be there. The lesson or the sermon that I want to give you today is the same title of a sermon that I gave here probably about 14 years ago, 12 to 14. It was called Dead Flowers. I'll begin the same way, and as we know, the Spirit is going to take it anywhere that it wants to go. It won't be the same lesson because life is not the same. I am not the same me as I was 12 or 14 years ago, and the channeling will be different. The channeling, I trust, as always, will be created by this group consciousness. I've told people time and time again when they say, it seems like when you speak, that you're speaking directly to me. And it could be that three quarters of the people in the hug line say, you were speaking directly to me, or it was as though you were in my house this week. And I said, it's because I don't prepare notes. I just, Zoe says, call in your talk title. I call in my talk title, and then I just give it up to God. Because what I want to happen is not for me to decide what I'm going to speak and to sit down with a piece of paper at my computer and do an outline of what I'm going to talk about and do my points and how I'm going to turn it around and end it and all that. That is many ministers' process that I'm aware of, but it never did work for me. All the years that I have been a minister, it has just served me not to prepare something, because then you get what's in my mind. If I don't prepare anything, what you get is in your mind. What I ask every time I take this platform is that the Holy Spirit, which indwells each of us, would speak out of your mind and through my mouth. And that is why I believe that many of you have said, it was as though you were speaking just to me. What I say to those people is, you were speaking just to you, and you were using my mouth as the voice piece to get that across. So I want you to know that I am intentionally pulling out from the Spirit what you are thinking, what you are believing, and what you are feeling, and giving it into the hands of the one soul that is our true self. I trust always that it will make a difference. I trust always that it will be uplifting. I love that Reverend Britt reminded us today that not everybody walks into a service like on top of the world, that not everybody skips into a service, not everybody is doing terrific all the time, and that is true as well for me. There have been many times where I have been sitting over there throughout the years, sometimes just in a fever, just sweating and coughing and getting like, oh, I don't know what I have to give today, but something takes me over when I take this platform. Once more, what takes me over is you, your spirit, your soul. Our collective consciousness gives rise to anything that will come out of my mouth. Britt reminded us, Reverend Britt reminded us, that you come in however you come in. I remind us that we always expect that how you will walk out will be at a higher degree of vibration than the way you came in. That if you come crawling in on your belly, at least you'll crawl out on your knees. If you crawl in on your knees, at least you'll limp out of here. If you limped in, at least you'll walk out. If you walked in, we trust you'll skip out. If you skipped in, we trust you'll fly out. Sometimes people make quantum leaps of change in one service. But for many of us, that does not occur. It occurs just a little bit of a change at a time. But I know that you know when you come to this place, you will not be the same. Not just because of what comes through my mouth, but for goodness sake, if all you had gotten today was that amazing song by Leo, you would have had your vibration raised. The reading of the Daily Word today by our sister Becca, if that's all I had gotten, that would have been enough. But God here gives us a potpourri of many, many, many reminders of who we are and whose we are, and of the idea that we truly have no need to fear. The talk title, Dead Flowers, comes because I had an experience for many, many years that I was not understanding. My experience in Massachusetts, Western Mass, where I live, everybody's into flowers. I have many flower gardens, but everybody puts these beautiful flowers in hang baskets by their windows. And when I got to Montague, I was like, oh my God, those are so beautiful. I know how to grow flowers, but where can I get some of those beautiful flowers in these hanging baskets? They're so delicate and they last all summer long. And finally I found at a nursery these same flowers. And I got them and I hung them beside each of my, on either side of my front entranceway, and they were beautiful. I now had what all the people around me had. However, what I noticed after a few weeks is that my flowers began to die. They just began to wilt, like on the bloom. I figured it was something that I wasn't doing right. I looked at the position of the sun, and I thought that perhaps where I hung them, they weren't getting enough. So I rehung them where there was more sun, and they still continued to die. I began to wonder if I was overwatering them, because sometimes that can cause flowers to die. So I cut back on the water, and still, they continued to die. I began to wonder if perhaps I needed to give them some organic food. So I went to the plant store, got some organic plant food, and began to give them organic plant food, and still they continued to die. What happened after that was the same thing that happened to Leo when he was at the Philharmonic and couldn't believe that that music was live. What happened for me was that I actually began to convince myself that the flowers hanging outside of the doors of all the other houses in Western Mass were not real. They were artificial, because otherwise they would be dying on the bloom like mine, because I'm doing everything I know how, and I call myself a green thumb kind of a guy. If mine are dying and theirs are not, theirs must be silk or plastic. I actually had myself convinced of that until one day I saw the woman across the way watering hers. I thought, you don't water silk flowers, and you don't water plastic flowers. She knows something that I don't know. I went to the plant store and I asked the woman all kinds of questions. She said, about the sunlight, well, maybe they need half and half. And so I started hanging them in the sun, and then halfway through the day, putting them in the shade. They still continue to die. One day, after years and years, and every year they died. They died completely. And every year I went and got more, and every year, no matter what I did, they continued to die on the bloom. I could not figure it out, but I was not going to give up. I'm just going to keep them. If they last 2 weeks, that's fine. I'll go get a replacement every 2 weeks, because I want these flowers. They are awesome. They make me happy. One day, after years of this experience, Timothy's grandmother comes to visit us. I have a new deck. My flowers are on the deck. She goes out to sit on the deck while Timothy makes her some tea or gets her a glass of wine. I don't know what she's asked for, but he's in there getting it for her, and I'm giving her time on the deck. When I came out on the deck, she had been out there about 20 minutes, and she's sitting there, and in her lap, there is a lap full of dead blooms. She is pulling every dead bloom off my plant and putting them on her lap. Why would someone want dead blooms, I thought. And I asked her, what are you doing? And she said, you have to remove all of the dead blossoms in order to make room for the new blossoms. This plant, if you leave the dead blossoms on it, is going to use all of its life force, all of its power to try to resurrect those dead blooms. So all of the food you give it, all of the water you give it, all of the sunshine it gets, is just going to be used trying to resurrect the dead flowers. It can give no new life to new blooms. If I remove all of the dead ones, Carlos, you will see within a week or two that new blooms have risen to take their place. I went, oh my God, what an idea. This woman just preached a sermon that I need to hear. Everything that happens in the outer world, I realize is God teaching me. God getting my attention. God preaching me a sermon that I better barely sit up and take notice of. When she told me what she told me, I went, oh my God, that applies to me. That applies to everybody I know. How many of us are putting forth our life energy, our life force, trying to resurrect something that is dead, trying to rebloom something that's time no longer exists for living. I looked at my life and I thought there are so many places that you are trying to resurrect something that is not resurrectable. I thought about all of the hours and all of the exercises that I had, trying to make something happen, trying to make something real, trying to get back something whose time is no more. And I said to myself, it's time for me to look at this plant that I am, that is intended to be so beautiful that people ride down the street and go, I've got to get me one of those. In order for me to do that and be that, I have to look at my life. I have to look at what's important to me. I have to look for the dead blooms. Charles Fillmore, who began the Unity Movement, along with his wife, believed in affirmations, which we are really good at, and also believed in negations, which we do not, in my opinion, give enough time to. I talked to you once about red marbles and green marbles, and if your bucket is all filled up with red marbles, which are the stock places in your life, you can't pour green marbles on top of red marbles in the same bucket, because they'll hit the red marbles and just drop off to the side. It's the same with the dead flowers. You cannot affirm that you are safe in this world, that God is with you, and that God is in charge of everything. You can't have that bloom in your consciousness, bloom in your heart, knowing, while at the same time identifying people, places, and things that bring you into fear. Let me tell you something. When Timothy walked into my room the other day, in the morning, and said, Carlos, some guy in Las Vegas just killed a bunch of people and wounded hundreds of others. My first thought, brothers and sisters, this is me being totally honest, my first thought was, please don't let him be black. 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 That's the first thought I had upon hearing that someone had mowed down a bunch of people. Do you know why? I don't want any more division. I don't want any more turmoil. I don't want any more racism. I don't want it. I don't want it. Please don't let him be black. Please don't let him be black. And then after I got done repeating that, the Holy Spirit started saying, please, calm down. Please, extend compassion and love to those who need it right now. What you're doing, Carlos, is taking care of your own little identity field. Make sure that you are not in fear, because you are. You're afraid this guy's going to be black and afraid of what it's going to do. And here you are, preacher, who is supposed to preach, there is nothing to fear. There is nothing to be afraid of. You are supposed to be, to the best of your ability, looking out upon a field of oneness.
You're supposed to be that person that we just read about, who's among those who is leading the world in an understanding of our oneness with the Creator and all of creation. There are so many dead flowers I find when I go looking at this bush, when I go looking at this plant. I find so many dead flowers, and most of them are about my safety in the material world. A Course in Miracles said that you will never be safe in the world. That if you're looking in the world for your opportunity to be safety, to be safe, to be at ease, and to relax, you may get a day or two once in a while, a day or two throughout, sprinkled throughout a year of that not happening. You cannot get your peace of mind based upon what's happening out there. You cannot have a sense of safety with protection out there. I don't care how many locks I put on my house. I don't care how many times I take precautions. Anything can happen anywhere to anybody. So if I'm dependent upon everything being peaceful out there in order for me to experience peace in here, it's an erroneous consideration. Jesus said, there will always be the poor among you. There will always be wars and rumors of wars. But do not let this distress you, because greater is the power that is within you than anything that's going on out there. It's a dead flower for me to be thinking, I hope things are safe so that I can be safe. It needs to be plucked, because there is a new bloom ready to take its place if I allow for it. The new bloom is truly the knowing that the Lord is my shepherd, that I shall not want, that He does make me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even in the presence of my enemies, He lays out the table. Who are my enemies? My thoughts of enmity. Who are my enemies? My thoughts of enmity. That I project on this person or that person or this culture or that culture or this religious path or that religious path. There's nobody out there that is truly my enemy. And whenever I've got my fist doubled up going after somebody, it is shadow boxing. Shadow boxing. Boxing against the shadow that is within me. And so I would love it if each of you would take time this week to look at the flower that you are and to consider what is it that you are trying to resurrect and keep alive that no longer has any life to it. There was a woman that I met after a concert many, many years ago in Cincinnati. After the concert, she came up to me. She was knocked down, drag out, beautiful. She walked up to me in the hug line, and she said, "The Lord told me that you are to be my husband." I said, "I don't think so." She said, "The Lord has never lied to me. The Lord said, you are to be my husband. And we are to have two children." Well, she was an airline stewardess in Cincinnati, and so she could fly anywhere. She found out that I had a church in Massachusetts. She started flying to Massachusetts once a month. Wow. Then she started flying to Massachusetts twice a month. Now, mind you, she turned me on. I loved hanging out with her. And to be honest, I'm a minister, and I don't know how it looks or sounds to a bunch of people. But after a couple of years of her flying out there, I proposed that we should be lovers. And not, I'm never getting married. Look, we can be together. promised Jesus that we would not sleep together until the night after our marriage. And I said, but we're not getting married. And she, so if you want to keep kissing all over my neck and rubbing all over me, we better go all the way. Or keep your hands off me. This is like being 13 again. But no, she wanted to pet, as she put it. She wanted to make out. But we're not going to sleep together until the night of our marriage. And she just kept repeating. I kept saying, I'm never getting married again. Yes, you are. Jesus told me, you're going to be my husband. I said, he lied. He just plain lied. If he told you I was going to be your lover, I'll step to that tonight. Walking down no more aisles, making no more promises, I did not get to keep. For 8 years, she flew from Cincinnati to Amherst. We went on so many dates. I loved that woman. She made me laugh everywhere we went. Everybody was saying, I've never seen a more beautiful couple. We looked like we were made for each other. And we might have been in some alternate, parallel reality. But in this reality, this boy ain't walking down for 8 years, she flew out. For 8 years, twice a month, she stayed all weekend. For 8 years, we went to dinner, we went to the movies, we went dancing, we petted, we made out. And she never, ever, ever let me do what Jesus told her not to let me do. I tried. I did try. I truly tried. After 8 years, she said to me, Carlos, do you know what I've been doing with you? And I said, what? I've been seeking the living among the dead. I've been looking for something where it isn't. You have been so clear. I just thought I could break you down. Every year I told myself, give up. And then the thought would come, no, 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 no. I can do this. I can do this. And after another year, I would say, you're crazy, give up. And then I would have the thought, no, 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 one more year of trying. But you, church, me, sometimes we're seeking the living among the dead. That scripture comes when Mary and Martha went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus after the crucifixion. When they got there, the stone was rolled away. When they went inside, the body was not there, just the linen cloth. They didn't know what happened. They didn't know if somebody stole this body. One of them thought, is it possible that this is not a recording? That this is actually the Philharmonic Orchestra? Is it possible that this is not a plastic or a silk flower? Is it possible the resurrection took place? When they came out of the tomb, there were two shining beings standing there, and the two shining beings spoke as one and said, why seek ye the living among the dead? This is what I do when I look for a reason to feel safe in the world. I really thought that if I found out that the shooter was not a black person, that was going to allow me to take a deep breath and go, no more gasoline has been added to the fire. I sometimes have thought, if everybody at Unity is safe after the towers go down, please don't let me find out that someone I love from Unity was in those towers. Please don't let me find out that someone I love dearly was in that accident. Please don't let me find out that someone in my family went to that movie on that night when that guy did that. My safety is not to be found
where it does not exist. Our safety lies in the transformation of our mind out of the dead flower of separation and specialism and me and mine and ours, to give rise to a new bloom. I am at one with the creator, and I am at one with all of creation. Once more, Jesus said the poor will be among us always. He also said that there will always be wars and rumors of war. And in that same context, he said that it is quite possible for us to live in deepest peace and in harmony and in safety. It will not come about by the transformation of the world. It can only come about through the transformation of our minds. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? I do it because we have been programmed to do it. And it's time to break that program. It's time to stand up on the inside. To stand a truly, truly goal for unity, for oneness. Some unity preacher way back in the 80s, I forget the guy's name, but he said, as far as peace on earth, as far as love for everyone, goodwill toward everyone, it's not going to happen because the president is going to cause it. It is not going to happen because the rich people are going to cause it. It is not going to happen because of a great awakening in the mind of educators in the world. If it is to be, it is up to me. If it is to be, it is up to me. If it is to be, it is up to who?
Me.
We have the power to transform our consciousness, to be the peace that we have prayed for. One of my pet things to say to people is wage peace. The world will continue to wage war. Will I? I used to be so good at that. If you hurt me, I could hurt you back twice as much. I was a molested little boy who grew up thinking, I ain't gonna take no crap from nobody. I'm gonna keep my fist doubled up. Somebody gets next to me, I'm gonna punch him out. You do me wrong, I'm gonna get you. You'll get yours, I used to say. That was a dead flower. And my life force, trying to feed it, to give it some kind of life, was a waste of my energy, a waste of my life. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It's called Old Testament, but it's the way many of us still live. If I don't catch myself, it's the way I can slip. I'm going to continue to preach and to continue to practice what I preach. That God is in heaven. That heaven is in me. That holy is my name, my nature. God wants me to know I have nothing to fear, and that there is nothing and no one to blame. I've been informed. My captivity is over. I've been informed. In truth, I'm free. And so